Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
For decades, we have known the days of cheap and easily accessible oil were numbered. For decades, we've talked and talked about the need to end America's century-long addiction to fossil fuels. And for decades, we have failed to act with the sense of urgency that this challenge requires.
Andrea Bernstein in for Brian Lehrer. That was President Obama, of course, from his first Oval Office speech last night, shifting the focus of his speech to energy policy and trying to seize the moment to advocate for energy policy reform. In a minute, we'll be joined by a director at the Natural Resources Defense Council. He'll break down exactly what was in and what wasn't in that portion of the president's speech. But first, we're going to take your calls, 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC, on the president's speech. And we'll also speak to Alex Wagner, who is a correspondent for Politics Daily. Alex, welcome to WNYC.
Thanks. Thanks for having me, Andrea.
Alex, we're going to go to a couple of callers, and then I'd like to get your response to their response. So we're going to bring in John from Medford and also Doris from Piscataway, New Jersey. Welcome to you both. John, you first. What did you think of the president's speech?
Well, first of all, I mean, basically, the way I looked at it, I thought it was an incredibly good response to a really incredibly ecological disaster that we're facing. The man, I'm tired of people bashing our president. I think he's doing the best job. What he was inherited, an incredible depressed economy, a depressed nation from the Bush administration, and people expect him just to fix it overnight. I'm tired of people complaining about him. I think people should get off their butts, support our president, and help him. This is our country. We need to fix it, and we need to support our president in order to do so. If we have to raise the taxes, so be it. And we can go after BP later. Let's support our president. I don't care what community you come from, or from what racial background you come from. We need to support our president. He's our president. Let's stop attacking these people like Chris Matthews, these Rush Limbaugh's, who absolutely always only talk about hate.
Hold on. I don't think that Chris Matthews and Rush Limbaugh are necessarily in the same category. But hang on, John. Thank you for your call. I want to get Doris's comments, and then we'll get your reaction, Alex Wagner. John, thank you for your call.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
Doris?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hi, and I wanted to get your response also to the speech.
Oh, thank you. Well, I agree with John that we can't be expecting President Obama to fix all the problems in a magic wand type of way. But what I really found disturbing was this sort of, you know, prayerful ending to that speech, which to me seemed to indicate all hope, you know, is lost. We just have to turn to God now. To my mind, Obama has really not been able to do anything with the energy situation. It hasn't been the priority, and it should have been. And the fact that this happened with the MMS group being so corrupt, and I guess he didn't do much with that until this disaster happened.
That's the mining and mineral service.
And, you know, to pray to God afterwards that he guide us and all this.
Right. It could be, it's a trope. It's a way of ending. It's a way of saying, you know, and with God's will, we will get there with perhaps more flourish.
Yeah,
but your
God
point is taken.
Who help themselves. And it seems to me that we've failed, and in God's eyes, we're ruining his creation. So we really have to atone for that by doing something really serious. That's
all right, Doris, thank you so much for your call. I wanted to go now to Alex Wagner of Politics Daily. Alex, a couple of responses from around our listening area. Mm-hmm. Clearly, the president had a few audiences last night, the people directly affected in the Gulf State, the rest of America, and then the folks inside the Beltway. So give us a sense of what the chatter is inside the Beltway in the wake of the president's first Oval Office speech.
You know, I think Chris was a great person to talk to in terms of getting a bead on what we're saying inside the Beltway, and there's certainly been a lot of piling on in terms of people not liking what the president said last night. You know, and I think, to a certain extent, the White House brought this upon themselves insofar as this is Obama's first Oval Address of his presidency. And, you know, they made a big point in the days and hours leading up to the speech saying that this was an inception point, you know, where he was expected to pivot
inflection point. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Inflection point. Okay. Sorry, go ahead.
Where he was expected to pivot, you know, from defense to offense. And, you know, I'm not going to say that I thought it was the worst speech he's given or the best. I thought it was a solid sort of B-minus. And I think it was Mark McKinnon this morning that said it had the feeling of an update. And I kind of co-sign on that. I mean, I don't think there was a lot of talk of boom and personnel and the sort of metrics that we've been hearing for the last couple weeks. And then that sort of segued into his sort of push for energy reform, but it still remains largely unclear how messy and how into the thick of it Obama is going to get.
We're going to be talking more about that in just a moment. I mean, I do have to say one of the things I noticed from that speech was that, you know, it's not a format that I think favors the president. And,
absolutely.
You know, thinking about his campaign, I mean, he was never great in the sort of small town hall, Clinton-esque in the sense of both Clintons, you know, I feel your pain type of situation. And in fact, he draws his energy from crowds. The bigger, the better. The more, the bigger the crowd is, you know, the bigger he seems to get.
Definitely.
Paradoxically.
You know, And I mean, earlier that day, he was in Pensacola, Florida, at a naval air base, and was, you know, a lot of the rhetoric that he used in the Oval speech, he sort of, I think, debuted at this address, and it was in front of, you know, a crowd of hundreds, and it was this kind of soaring, it was very much that General MacArthur, you know, where we're at war with the environment, we're at war with, you know, against terrorism, but I think it played much better because, you know, he had an audience.
Let's bring in a couple more callers. Pat from Maplewood, let's start with you. Hi, you're on WNYC.
Hi, Andrea. I was looking for inspiration last night. I mean, to me, they were right. This was an inflection point. And it just seemed like he had the moment to inspire us to do the same thing that President Kennedy did to inspire us to go to the moon. And my dad worked in the space program, and it was exciting. And this is who we are as a people.
I was so surprised
he didn't use that.
He did. He talked about putting a man on the moon. Did that go by you?
He did, but he did it tangentially. He needed to take the threads of what the situation is. You know, this oil, rather than literally getting into the oily weeds, oil is, it's dirty, it's running out, we get it from dangerous regimes, it's despoiling the planet. You know, it's a moment where he could pull these things together and inspire us as a people to solve it.
All right, let's, Pat, stay there for 1 second. Let's also bring in Bill from Wall, New Jersey. Hi, Bill, you're on WNYC.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I think and I'm a big supporter of the president. I think what I took away from the speech, and I think it's something that in today's polarized politics gets lost, and that's the president's, he's a passionate centrist. He's committed. He's in a situation where he has a hard right problem in the Congress. He can't come out as far as the left would want him to come out. He can't come out as far as the environmental movement would want him to come out. And he's trying to say to people in Mississippi, in Alabama, in Louisiana, people that are most likely to not support him and didn't support him in the election, that he understands them. And
Pat,
I think he didn't do that.
This is where I think he lost his opportunity. When you have a leader who inspires his people, they come with him. And that's what I'm actually still hoping for. That's what I'm hoping that he begins to realize. What this means,
Bill, do you think that he had? I mean, given what you've said about, you know, he has a large agenda and not necessarily the, you know, most friendly audience. Do you think that Pat has a point?
I think she does. I think she does, but I don't see how much what more he could have done. I mean, there was a comment before about the religious references at the end, about the context he put it in. I mean, I thought he was trying to reach out to those people. To the rural population of the Gulf Coast and Mississippi and Alabama, who I'm sure, you know, it's not Obama country down there.
Alex Wagner, what about that? I mean, in terms of sort of in Washington and people saying he should have done this, he should have done that, is there Bill's point that what more could he have done? Come on,
well,
what do you expect?
Well, you know, I mean, I think there's something you said for the meet, you know, the setting is the message. You know, they made a very concerted, I mean, it was a very specific decision to put him in the Oval Office. And, you know, addresses from the Oval Office tend to be much more tactical. I mean, on a certain level, maybe he was trying to accomplish too much because he absolutely had to go into the Gulf spill. But as, you know, one of our listeners commented, he did, to a certain extent, get stuck in the oily reeds and needed to segue into this broader discussion of energy, but also didn't get into the specifics of that. And, you know, I think one of the most harmful things he did for himself, maybe, which will be vetted out in the next coming weeks, is he's tied himself to this 90% figure that the government's going to be that BP will be capturing 90% of, you know, the oil in the coming days and weeks. And I can see that being problematic. In the areas that he did choose to get specific, I think he might have opened himself up to even more criticism. And I guess to that point of the prayer, I agree. I think it was a sort of strange note to end on, because I think he was trying to be inspiring and he was trying to say, look, America, we can do this together. Let's rally together. And then sort of defers to God to take care of all of it. And it was like, we're going from this kind of commander-in-chief rhetoric to a sort of fisherman, swami, you know, spiritual, religious vibe, which I thought was a little bit puzzling.
All right, and so let's go from the divine to the mundane with Wesley Warren, the Director of Programs at the Natural Resource Defense Council. Alex, stick with us for a moment if you can. But Wesley, I want to sort of get into the nitty-gritty of sort of where energy policy is now going to go in Washington, and let's start with listening from another clip from last night's speech. Here's the president.
The consequences of our inaction are now in plain sight. Countries like China are investing in clean energy jobs and industries that should be right here in America. Each day, we send nearly $1 billion of our wealth to foreign countries for their oil. And today, as we look to the Gulf, we see an entire way of life being threatened by a menacing cloud of black crude.
So Wesley Warren of the Natural Resources Defense Council, I've been hearing a lot of sort of chatter on environmental blogs and in the environmental community about, you know, now is the moment. Now is the moment to seize this, you know, menacing cloud of black crude and take it as a metaphor and move quickly on energy policy. Did anything you hear last night suggest that that is what the country is going to do?
Well, I do think that that was the point that the president really wanted to convey in this speech, that now is the time. Now is the time to make BP once and for all clean up their mess, the time to make sure we end the cozy relationship between government and industry to prevent these disasters in the future, and to get Congress once and for all to put us on a clean energy path that will break this addiction to oil. And I think that he's very serious about taking this message to Congress, where there's legislation pending in the Senate right now.
You know, Wesley, it's interesting that you say that, because when Ken Salazar was appointed Secretary of the Interior, there was some grumbling, maybe from even within NRDC, although probably not, you know, at official levels, that Salazar wasn't the right person to select for Interior Secretary, that he was too sort of Western, laissez-faire libertarian. Do you think that's come back at all to bite the president on this?
Well, I think that you see the administration acknowledging that this is a matter that they should have paid more attention to all along. And so we welcome the fact that they're taking it very seriously, that when they get BP to clean up their mess, they're also going to really clean up the mess in government.
All right, but Wesley,
they're bringing reformer in. They're going to completely change the way the Department of Interior works by doing away with the old Mineral Management Service, and we welcome those reforms.
The banner headline on Politico right now says deadly silence on carbon caps. There's an article right now, Obama never even uttered the words carbon, greenhouse gases, global warming, cap and trade. He used the word climate only once. I would add to that I did not hear I heard some things about solar energy and wind turbines. I didn't hear anything about gasoline, which is, of course, what's at issue in the Gulf. What do you think about Politico's assessment? Do you think they are right to read into what was missing from the president's speech?
Well, I believe the president did not really want to get into a detailed legislative prescription, that he was trying to convey another message, which was this is the time to act, and we need to all come together to make it happen. That the public sector and the private sector, Republicans and the Democrats, really right now need to get together to make this happen. So by reference, he talked about his principles for comprehensive energy legislation, that the House of Representatives passed legislation already that would address both clean energy and climate. And so I think he did not mean to repeat his Pittsburgh speech, where he was very clear that energy efficiency, renewable energy, and a limit on carbon.
Okay, remind me when that speech was, the Pittsburgh speech?
It was just a couple of weeks ago. He made it very clear that both efficiency and renewables, along with a limit on carbon pollution, is the way to spur innovation, investment, and to move us forward for the clean energy economy, and that he would go help round up the votes in the Senate.
You heard him say that?
In the Pittsburgh speech.
Mm-hmm. So do you feel satisfied that, I remember last summer at this time there was huge discussion about and Waxman was on the show talking about the climate change and energy bill, and it was a very big issue in Washington, and it passed the House, and then it went nowhere. And then the last year happened, and the Massachusetts Senate election happened, and then there was supposed to be a climate change bill in the Senate, and then there wasn't a climate change bill in the Senate because there was some kerfuffle about whether immigration was going to go first. But are you satisfied? I mean, you're an environmentalist, and are you satisfied that the president is doing what you want him to do?
Well, now the president, I think the president did wait for the Senate to go its own course in terms of getting together a proposal to put out for consideration, which is the Kerry Lieberman proposal. So that's before the Senate now for consideration, and it would be a comprehensive energy climate piece of legislation. Now that that is out for discussion, he has worked with the leadership of the Senate on the Democratic side. He's called for help from Republicans on the other side to next month put a package together that can go to the floor after the 4th of July and finally pass the Senate. So we feel like now he's actively involved, and he's worked with the leadership to tee up the action by the Senate.
So when I heard him say last night, he sort of said, I'm open to all ideas. And he said some have suggested raising efficiency standards in our building, like we did in cars and trucks. Some believe we should set standards to ensure that more of our electricity comes from wind and solar power. Others wonder why the energy industry only spends a fraction of what the high-tech industry does on research and development. When he raises these ideas, I mean, they actually sound not like ideas from different quarters, but all ideas from him. So I was a little bit confused by that move. Were you?
Well, I think some of those references that you saw him make go to an energy bill that Senator Bingaman has had in the U.S. Senate. Recently, Senator Lugar unveiled a proposal of his own, and some of those ideas you can see in Senator Lugar's proposal. He's a Republican. So I think he was referring to some of the other players in the U.S. Senate who are going to have an important influence on the final outcome.
So,
but I think that there was something else going on, which was that just last week, 47 senators voted for a resolution by Senator Murkowski, which would actually have taken away EPA's authority to regulate carbon pollution without putting anything in its place. And I think that that was an astonishing action by those senators, even though that resolution was defeated. And so I think he's working in the context of saying to those senators, I have an idea. We need action now. This is time for you to come forward with ideas of your own.
So, Wesley Warren of NRDC, we had a number of calls earlier where people seemed to be lamenting that he hadn't said enough or done enough, in their view, to move forward on energy policy. But I'm not hearing that from you. I'm hearing satisfaction to praise. Do I have that right?
Well, looking at the content of what the president said, I think that he really did step forward here and say it's now for us, it's time for us to come together as a country, and it's time for us to act. And there's a path forward that we will all benefit from. And, yes, we believe that that was the right message to the American people, and we think the American people support that. And so now it's time for the other politicians, I think, in Washington to come together and respond to it.
All right, Wesley Warren, NRDC Director of Programs, thank you very much. Alex Wagner of Politics Daily, I'm going to give you the last word. Do you think that the energy legislation will now move forward in the U.S. Senate based on your reporting there?
Oh, God, I'm not usually a betting woman. I'd be very surprised. I think we're looking for a lot more momentum to come from this, and I'm glad that the NRDC feels positive about it, but I think the rest of us are pretty skeptical that this is going to be the engine behind the engine that we need behind the reform.
All right, thanks very much. Alex Wagner of Politics Daily, Wesley Warren of NRDC, thank you to everyone who called in. And when we come back, we'll talk about another one of those things that you're supposed to do, prepare for your death and for loved ones' deaths. We'll tell you how and why right after this.